family. They are located at 1815 Military Highway, Pineville, Louisiana. And their phone number is area code 318-442-7300. Join us now as we enter into a service already in progress as I preach and teach the Word of God.
A workman is a person who diligently, professionally go after what his profession is. If this is your profession, and your profession is to be a Christian, which implies that you are Christ-like, then you ought to be working towards the ultimate destination, and that is to look like Christ. Study to show thyself. It ain't about mama. It ain't about cousin. It ain't about Uncle John, it's about you. And the Lord says, I need you to study, and I need you to be a workman so that you can rightly divide the word of truth. Because not everything you hear is the truth. You've heard me say, I preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, that may baffle somebody, because every time you preach the truth, somebody is being hurt. But God ain't trying to hurt you. God is trying to save you.
Right.
And if God is trying to save you, sometime when we say amen, we know that what God is saying implies to something that we are dealing with in our life,
yeah,
or have gone through in life. For many of us, we can see what God is doing. How many of us came to church with mom and dad, and in doing so at a young age, we joined the church, and then we were baptized. Many of us got that experience. I know I did. But in getting this experience, did we really know why we were being baptized? And did we truly understand salvation? Certainly, many of us came to church as a child. We accepted the Lord because mama and daddy brought us. We got baptized. Then what, there? Did we really understand? Did we really know about God? Did we really understand why we are Baptist? Did we really understand why we are here? As a child, salvation was what mom and dad taught us and what the pastor said. But did we really understand it? And maybe some of you this morning still have some questions, because it's important to know where you're going after this life. There's a story told about Dr. Albert Einstein. And Dr. Einstein was a theoretical physicist. And he was known to be one of the greatest physicists of all time. But Einstein's friend knew more about his character. They knew his absent-mindedness. And because of this, they looked after him. They took care of him. It was told that one day Einstein was traveling from Princeton by train. The conductor came down the aisle punching the tickets of each passenger. Coming to Dr. Einstein, he waited for the physicist to reach in his vest pocket looking for his ticket. But it wasn't there. He reached into his other pocket, and it wasn't there either. Dr. Einstein looked in his briefcase, but he couldn't find it. Feet by him, but he couldn't find it. The conductor said, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are, and I'm sure you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it. Dr. Einstein nodded his head appreciatively at the conductor as he continued down the aisle punching tickets. And as the conductor was ready to move to the next car, he turned around and saw the scientist down on his hands and knees looking under the seat for his ticket. The conductor rushed back and said, Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know who you are. You don't need a ticket. I'm sure you bought one. Looking up at him, Einstein said, young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I am. Where are you, Antioch?
All right.
And do you know where you're headed? People today don't really know where they're going. How many times have you asked a question to a friend about heaven? And many of them say, I hope I get there. You ought to know without a shadow of a doubt where you're headed. That's one of the problems we face today, is that we ought to know emphatically, undeniably, and explicitly where we are headed after this life. That's why other denominations can challenge the authenticity of why we say we are Christians. And if we say we are Christian, we ought to be able to give some evidence of who we say we are and know where we're headed and whom we are serving. But if they ask the question, are you going somewhere? And we said, I hope. We ought to say, I know where I headed because I know who I serve. My brothers and sisters, we see what God is doing in our life. For we see we serve a living God. We see in John 3:16, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus in one sense, but he's speaking to you and I today. For it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then he said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Clear enough. It was God's love for the world. Or it was God's love for you and I, that God gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God gave the world a love gift that would be our atoning sacrifice. And then this love gift would redeem us back to the Father for all of the transgression you and I committed. It was Jesus who paid the price, or it was Jesus who paid the cost, which was required by God to save mankind. I don't care how you think you live good and righteous, your righteousness ain't impressing the Lord. It was Jesus who paid the ultimate price for your salvation and mine. In other words, salvation came with a high cost. And it cost God his one and only son. How many of us would give up our son for someone who is a murderer, a thief, a liar? How many? I love my son. Would I be willing to give my life for someone that was a murderer? But God so loved the world, so loved you, so loved me, that he gave his one and only son so that you and I could inherit eternal life. That's how his love is. His love is unconditional. His love is unmerited. His love is eternal. Why? Because he's God. And God is love. And that's the story of salvation. Jesus said in that 17th verse, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My brothers and sisters, you and I can have absolute confidence in our eternal hope. The Bible tells us that we can be certain of our relationship with God and of our heavenly home. In my Father's house are many mansions. Yes, yes. If it were not so, I go to prepare a place for you. This is Jesus talking. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. There are those imperative personal pronouns that tells you I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yeah. That's what the Lord said. When we think about what the Lord has done, he's now preparing a place for you and for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Antioch, we can be persuaded. You and I can live beyond the aggravation or torment of doubt. I hope. I think. Maybe. Do you know how much you're tormenting yourself? You're struggling about your security. You're struggling about how you're going to make it. And the Lord said, what are you struggling? The manger said, what's wrong with them? The price has already been paid. They were made a little lower than me, and they still don't get it? Now I understand why Jesus said the disciples were slow learners, because so are we. We are slow to learn the plan of salvation and what God accomplished for all of us. We are slow to understand his magnificent plan. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with what Christ has already done for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if he has already done it, what in the world are you hoping for? He's already accomplished it.
Yeah.
Jesus paid it all.
Yeah.
Inclusive for you as well as for me. For our assurance of salvation is not only possible, it is what God desires for us to possess in our mind and in our heart.
Oh, yes.
What's in your heart? What is truly in your heart will ultimately come out of you, because it's all about what you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if what's in you is that stuff that does not please him, the Lord says, I've got the Holy Spirit to work on that.
Yeah.
And our God does not want you and I to live with doubt or uneasiness concerning his love for us, our God's ability to keep us to the end of time. Stop doubting and just believe. I'm reminded of Thomas, who said, I won't believe unless I can see and touch the nail prints in his hand. I won't believe. And the Lord said, Thomas, come here. Touch me, handle me. Just believe. That's what the Lord is asking us today about salvation. I need you to just believe. Don Whitley wrote in his book, The Assurance of Salvation, he said, if the governor pardons a death row criminal, he will tell him that he is pardoned. He will not wait and allow the trauma to tell the condemned man that he's pardoned. When God pardons us and adopt us into his family, he doesn't want us to hide our new status from us until the day we stand before him. God wants us to know that we are pardoned.
Yeah, yeah.
As believers, we won't stand before him condemned. We stand before him for rewards.
Mm.
Because the price for our salvation has already been met. If a governor can pardon, or if a governor can reassure a pardoned prisoner behind bars, don't you think the Lord can reassure you and me? Here's why. The Apostle Paul penned it this way in Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities.
Thank you for tuning in to Paradise Ministry. We pray something said today has encouraged you in your personal relationship with the Lord. If you would like to have a copy of this message, you can email us at antiochmathis@bellsouth.net, or you can send a love offering of $8 to Paradise Ministry, P.O. Box 281, Woodworth, Louisiana, 71485. As always, we hope to see you in church.
KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez 99.3.